the First Lady of New York Radio, Joan Hamburg. Entertaining and informative. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Welcome to the Joan Hamburg Show. And I was with a bunch of friends the other day, and they were talking about Jane Brody. And Jane is the personal health columnist for the New York Times, has actually been doing that, I forget, since the mid-70s. And she always does topics that you read and you say, oh my gosh, I know this, I sympathize with this, I need this, it really helps me. And she did a column just the other day, When Life Throws You Curveballs, Embrace the New Normal. And it literally, we're dealing with, thank goodness, not cancer, but a serious medical issue in our family. And I picked up the paper. It was like I was at the end of my rope this day recently. And there's Jane, When Life Throws You Curveballs, Embrace the New Normal. And it was like as she opens this column saying, just when I needed it most, I learned a valuable life lesson. And she quotes someone who had an incurable cancer diagnosed after her 49th birthday. My situation was very different, but it touched me and it gave me a new awareness that was so essential that I called my kids at some point during that day. I said, I want you to read this. I sent the article to friends who might have missed it or hadn't opened a paper yet. So thank you. And Jane always includes herself in these articles so that you know there's a reality there. Anyway, no, it was, you know, really an important article because who doesn't have that in life? You know, whether it's a disease, whether it's something happens in your work life, your career, you're disappointed in something. And as you say, a successful life is not necessarily the perfect one we imagine, particularly as we get older. And you captured it.
You got it, Joan.
I know. Think of how we all pictured ourselves, you know, fa-la-la, tramping all around the world, you know, doing fantastic things. Doesn't work.
I'm about to tramp around the world. I'm going to South Africa next week.
You're kidding. Is that pleasure, business, family?
Pleasure. I don't go on business on these trips anymore. But I'm taking my 86-year-old friend who was matron of honor at my wedding.
You're kidding. How fabulous.
And my job is for both of us to have a great time.
Yeah, but you're good at that.
Well, I hope I am.
Is it just the two of you, or are you going on a planned trip?
No, it's a tour. It's a group, but I'm not taking the family. The family has already been taken. I've taken my four grandsons to Tanzania. Mm. I took all four of them to the Galapagos.
That was a great trip, right?
Everything was great. The kids were great, and I loved going with them without their parents because they're much better behaved. But this issue of embracing the new normal is a really important one for everyone, no matter how old you are, no matter what your current circumstances are. I mean, a friend at the Y this morning just told me that the project that she'd been working on for months, years, maybe a whole year now, a book that she was planning to write, and she actually had started writing and done a lot of homework on it, she's not going to be able to do it because somebody has preempted the material. And she said, I gave myself one day to be disappointed and upset, and now I'm moving on.
That is the kind of
attitude that we all need to have at any stage in life. And She's a young person. She's not an older person.
Right.
But you never know what's going to happen that's going to change the whole circumstances of your existence. And you need to adjust.
Right. And it's a matter of trying to roll with the punches. Every time my worn out knees start complaining, you know, can't do this, it's a trial.
I had mine replaced.
I remember when you did it years ago.
Yes, 15 years ago. They're 15 years old.
And they're good, right?
And they're still good, fine. and I'm still walking, biking, swimming, and you know, I no longer do cross country skiing. I no longer play tennis every day, and but I'm not sitting on my butt. I'm doing whatever my body allows me to do.
And they don't hurt anymore?
My knees don't hurt. No,
right.
My knees.
It's
don't
everything
hurt
else that hurts. But
no, it's my back. I have a very bad back.
But you still go and do everything.
I still do everything that I can do, and I'm learning to adjust to what I can't do, and that's the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that I know take too much out of me, and it's not because I don't have the energy, it's because I get in too much pain. And
right.
I have to learn to roll with those punches and to just give in to the pain when it happens, treat it as best as I can, and try to avoid aggravating it the next time.
Right. And it's a matter, as you point out, and it's a very simple article. You know, it's not giving us menus, formulas.
Right. Right.
It's a matter of taking the now,
right,
whether it's painful, disappointing, scary, taking this now and learning to go with it, or else we'll all have total nervous breakdowns and be depressed.
Right. Well, people do get depressed.
Well,
and you're entitled to get depressed for a certain short period of time, but you have to then parlay that depression into something positive. I mean, because the next week, after that article, I wrote one on optimism and how important it is to look at the bright side whenever, you know, at all times, really, at all times, even when bad things happen, you have to think about how to make it better, and that you can make it better. That's the important thing, is that positive attitude that it's doable. I remember somebody years and years ago asked me, did I ever have a professional setback where I just felt, you know, nothing was working? And I said, well, I may have. But I know what I've done with every setback in my life is that I've parlayed it into an achievement, that I just didn't let it stop me. And that's what an optimist does.
Is that you, though? Have you always been that?
I've always been that. I mean, my mother died when I was 16.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was I going to do? I can't bring her back.
But you were just a kid.
I was a kid. And my brother was even 4 years younger, and it was pretty terrible, but I knew that I had to move on. In her memory, I moved on.
You were wiser than your years, though.
Yeah, but I've been that way my whole life, and that's how I've dealt with these kinds of issues. I mean, the day that my husband died, I had a speaking engagement in South Carolina. He died in the middle of the night before I left, and I was leaving on a 7 a.m. flight to South Carolina, and I went. And somebody there said, how could you do that? I said, well, number one, I promised my husband that I wouldn't cancel anything in his behalf.
He had been ill.
Yes, but he was clearly dying, and that we knew. But he had made me, even beforehand, he had made me promise that I wouldn't cancel any of my obligations just because of him. And so I went off to South Carolina, and I gave my talk, and I said, you know, when I'm done with my business, then I can mourn.
You didn't tell the audience anything.
I did.
Okay.
I did. And one man challenged me.
Like, how could you, right?
Yes, how could you do that? I said, well, this is how I could do it. And it's true. This is exactly what I did. I honored his memory by doing what I promised to do. And that was more important to me than sitting home and crying, because, you know, I can cry any time on my own time.
Yeah, but you're very unusual. Are your kids like you?
I think so. Just watching them so far. I mean, they're 50 years old, my boys, now.
They're grown-ups.
They're grown. They're not kids anymore. But I think that they have a similar attitude. And they just roll with the punches. They really do.
Yeah, well, that's a gift. And I don't think you can teach that. I think you're
yes, you can.
You really believe it? Because you're like you, at 16, that you already knew you had to get up and step over this tragedy. It's a tragedy. And you had a little brother, too.
Right.
So you had to deal with it.
I knew for the sake of my family that I had to do it. When I said to my grandmother that it's okay, I don't have to go to Cornell. I can go to Brooklyn College and stay home with my
brother.
Take
care of the child,
And my grandmother said, you're going to Cornell. And we dealt with it. We just dealt with it. And I did the best I could under the circumstances. Actually, I didn't really mourn her loss until a year after she died.
Because you didn't have time, probably.
Didn't have time, exactly.
No, I understand that. What happened to your brother?
My brother had a very difficult time. You know, it was 1958. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew about psychiatry. Nobody knew about getting kids into therapy. It was just, it should have been done. He should have seen a therapist.
Sure, he was only, 10 years old?
No, he was just turning 13. He was, she died just a week before his bar mitzvah.
Had she been ill?
Yes, mm-hmm. a year, but he didn't know. You see, that was the other problem in those days. Children weren't allowed up in the hospital.
Right.
You had to be a certain age. I don't remember what the age was, but he was below it. And so he never even saw her at the end of her life. And so he thought she was going to come home again the way she had done in the past.
Tough for a kid.
And people didn't even use the word cancer. Nobody talked about dying. Mm-hmm. In my book on the Great Beyond, I talked about this story and how bad it was that we didn't know how to deal with these kinds of issues, and that she didn't have a chance to say goodbye to the family because we didn't ever discuss the fact that she wasn't going to be here the next day.
No, that's a hard thing for kids to accept, but you're right, it's really important.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Jane Brody, and her column, actually, she had she always has good columns, but two that was so relevant. When life throws you curveballs, embrace the new normal, and then a column on optimism, too. So I thank you, Jane. You came through again for me.
You're welcome, Joan. And pay attention to those messages. They're really important.
No, I believe it. And have a great trip. We'll talk to you when you come back.
Thank you much.
Bye-bye. I'm Joan Hamburg, and you're listening to WABC.